Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we study the Word of God. And it is a great word today. It is a great word. We are going to be in the book of Exodus. You like to write these scriptures down. We'll be in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through chapter 4, verse 31, 10, verses 1 through 6. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. And we will be in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 20. And I am excited. This was the word that I spoke on Sunday, and we may do it a little different when we get there, but let's get into our regular work, and then we'll get into Matthew chapter 18 with maybe a little preachy twist, we'll say. But anyway, thank you again so very much for joining me this morning, this early in the morning of the Most High God. So let us pray, and then let us get started in our word this morning. And just thank God for being awake. So many times we take for granted waking up in the morning. I am grateful that God woke me up this morning. I am grateful that he put a pep in my step and a praise in my heart. Because it's time to go to work. And that's to work for God. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, kingdom, ready to do what you have called us to do, whether it's to evangelize, preach, teach, whatever our assignment, Lord, let us do it well. And Lord God, I lift up our nation today, Lord God. I lift up the nations around this planet today, Lord God, for turmoil is alive and well. The sneaky snake is busy. But we know, Lord God, that he cannot do anything unless you allow it. So, Lord God, I ask you to change our attitudes so that we may have a better altitude. Father God, I pray that this word permeates someone's mind, heart, and spirit, that when they hear it, they will want to be changed. They will want to be better today than they were yesterday. Lord God, we bind and rebuke all manner of evil spirits that may try to permeate hearts and minds of your people, Lord God. We bind those spirits and send them right back to the pits of hell from whence they came. And Lord, we loose love. We loose the fruits of the Spirit. We lose faith and kindness. We lose goodness. We lose the things that are you, Lord God, and bind the things that are not. We ask you, Lord God, to help to walk better, talk better, and be better toward each other. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord, I ask you to please increase as I decrease. Give me clarity of mind in the word that I will be able to explain it and teach it and read it. Father God, for you are my strength. You are my redeemer. You are my father. And I am grateful to be called a child of God. So Lord God, please increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For Lord God, I give me to you. Use me as you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to God, who truly is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. I could not do anything without him. So this morning, I just thank him for waking me up. Because we all know sometimes we just want to sleep good. But my body clock wakes me up and says, okay, it's time to go to work. It's like when it's time to go to my job, it's time to go to my job, which is working for God. So I thank God for this assignment. I thank God for giving me this opportunity to come to you this morning and every morning, Monday, Sunday through Friday, with a word from the Lord. So let's get started in our word. And as always, it is, say it with me, y'all, a great word. Oh, it's a great word. I know I sound like this giddy teenager, but I get excited about the word of God. Because you find out that once you keep reading it, the more and more you study, the more and more you read, the more and more you hear, it gets better. It starts to permeate your spirit, and it starts to help you be better. So I'm praying for that be better in my spirit, the do better in my spirit, to get myself organized in my spirit. Because I can tell you, I can be some messy mess. But I love God, and I know that with God, all things are possible. So let's get started, y'all, in the word of God. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the mist of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses! Moses! And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near. This where you stand is a holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. The God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, for a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Havites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Ready to run from the calling, y'all. But understand, God has a way of getting our attention. So he said, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Whew. Y'all about to make, this word's about to make me shout. And God said to Moses, I who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial in all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together. The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you, seeing what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Then they will heed your voice, and you shall come, and you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt. And you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us. And now, please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not even by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go, and I will give this people favor sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed, but every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom. And behold, it was restored like the other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. And it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs, I listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river, pour it on the dry land. The water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. Then Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who made man's mouth? God did. Can I say it again? God did. Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. But he said, oh, my Lord, please send my hand of whomever else you may send. Let me read that again. But he said, oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever you may send. You know, sometimes when God gives you an assignment, it just seems difficult and hard, and you're trying to figure out, Lord, how am I supposed to complete this assignment? God will make a way out of no way for us to complete our assignment. And we can look around and say, it's overwhelming, God. How am I going to get this done? And I believe in my heart that God will help you make a way. He will make a way out of no way. If we believe and we make the effort, we can't keep complaining about what we got to do if we don't make an effort to get it done. And I'm not speaking to y'all, I'm speaking to myself. But if the shoe is fitting you too, we all got to do what we got to do and make an effort to get done what we need to do. Anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be with him as God. And you shall still take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs." So God said, okay, since you are sitting here whining and complaining, just stood before a burning bush, the voice of God telling you you're on holy ground, telling you, giving you your assignment directly from the voice of God in a miracle of a burning bush that does not burn. And you talking about you can't talk. He said, okay, fine. I don't want to deal with your foolishness. What I'm going to do is I am going to get, okay, your brother can speak for you, but you got to do the miracle. So God is like, okay, you got an assignment. And now understand, Moses might not have been able to speak, but this book that we're reading now was written by the hands of Moses. So Moses might not have been able to speak, but he surely could write. Hallelujah. And I'm glad that God put it on his heart to write these books of the law. And as we continue in the word, so Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, "Please let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see whether they are still alive." And Jethro said to Moses, "Go in peace." Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, "Go, return to Egypt, for all the men who sought your life are dead." Then Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey, turned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said to Moses, "When you go back to Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put on your hand. But I will harden his heart, so that he will not let the people go. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, 'Thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I say to you, let my son go, that he may serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, indeed I will kill your son, your firstborn.' And it came to pass on the way at the encampment that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone, cut off the foreskin of her son, and cast it at Moses' feet and said, 'Surely you are a husband of blood to me.' So he let him go. Then she said, 'You are a husband of blood because of the circumcision.' And the Lord said to Aaron, 'Go into the wilderness to meet Moses.' So he went." So he went and met him on the mountain of God and kissed him. So Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then he did the signs in the sight of the people. So the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked on their affliction, then they bowed down their heads and worshiped. But I just want to go back to verse 24. And it said, and it came to pass on the way at the encampment that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at Moses' feet and said, surely you are a husband of blood to me. So he let him go. Then she said, you are a husband of blood because of the circumcision. Let me get another Bible here. I just want to look at that from a different perspective, that verse. Sometimes when we don't understand something, you got to go to other sources to look it up, to see exactly, you know, what it says. So I'm going to the Amplified Bible and looking up chapter 4, verse 24. Okay, and it says, now it happened at the lodging place that the Lord met Moses and sought to kill him, making him deathly ill because he had not circumcised one of his sons. There it is. And it goes on to say, Genesis 17, 9 through 14. Let us go back to Genesis 17. And I believe this is the covenant. Verse 9. And it says further, God said to Abraham, as for you, you're part of the agreement. You shall keep and faithfully obey the terms of my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is the sign of my covenant, which you shall keep and faithfully obey between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins. And it shall be the signs, symbols, memorials of the covenant between me and you. Every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generations, including a servant, whether born in the house or one who is purchased with your money from any foreigner who is not of your descendants. A servant who is born in your house or one who is purchased with your money must be circumcised, and the sign of my covenant shall be in your flesh, everlasting covenant. And the male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Then the Lord said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call, that's going into a different thing. But what it says through 9 and verse 14 is circumcision. And it says, then Zipporah took a flint knife and cut off the foreskin of her son and threw it at Moses' feet and said, indeed, you are a husband of blood to me. So what happened is Moses had not circumcised the one son, and that's why he was under attack. And it says, you are a husband of blood because of the circumcision. So Moses had to, he had failed to do what he was supposed to do. He was circumcised, but he had not circumcised his son, one of his sons. And so that was where everything came about. Because that verse was sticking in my mind, and I'm like, I don't understand this. So I wanted to make sure I understood it and that we understood it as to why the Lord would want to kill him. And now we understand, because he had not completed what he was supposed to do as a Hebrew man. So we're going to go back and read a life question. And again, for those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And it is a yearly Bible study. We are doing this word one more year because God told me to. And we did not start it in January. We started, I believe, March or April of last year. And so this year we're going to do the whole entire word. We will go back and forth between different translations, but we still will stay within the daily Bible study, as far as Bible study of the Charles Stanley Bible. So we'll do it all in the same manner. We'll just do it daily like we are doing right now. And it says, what can I do to earn a more spiritual responsible role? This is a life question. What can I do to earn a more spiritually responsible role? And it says, few men ever had a greater responsibility placed on their shoulders than Moses, whom God tasked with leading the nation of Israel out of Egypt, bondage, and into the promised land. Responsibility requires a spirit of faithfulness, dependability, and the refusal to give up when times get rough. Moses had these qualities, and God chose him as his special human representative. It took years, however, to prepare Moses for the enormous job. He began life as an impetuous, hot-headed, and stubborn young man. When he witnessed the suffering of God's people in Egypt, immediately he sought to deliver them through his own human strength, and neither he nor his people benefited from his hasty actions. God always clarifies our responsibility so we can respond in obedience. He never leaves us alone. He promises to shoulder the responsibility with us. If he didn't, we would become easily discouraged and would fail to understand the significance of our calling. God uses various events and circumstances to prepare us for increasing levels of spiritual responsibility. He uses a burning bush to gain He used a burning bush to gain Moses' attention. This was the man's moment of calling. By this time, Moses' heart had become receptive and his spirit primed for greater spiritual responsibility. It took him 40 years. Think that through. When he left Egypt, he was 40 years younger. And now he's going back as an older gentleman. So let's just say he was 20 when he left Egypt. And now he is 60, going back to do a job for God. When I was first called, I was 17 years old. It took me over 30, almost 40 years to accept the calling. So I understand. I wasn't equipped at 17. I was. Because God had sent me through some stuff. He had to birth some things in me to make me remember my first love, which was him. Wow. And it goes on to tell us God always equips us for the responsibility he gives us. He provided Aaron as a friend and spokesman for Moses. Even the staff of God gave Moses was amazingly useful as a symbol of his power. God also always prepares us for the responsibility he assigns us. Throughout Moses' life, God had been preparing him to lead the nation of Israel. Anytime God calls us to fulfill a certain responsibility, we enter a period of waiting. Moses tried to take a shortcut but failed. And he spent 40 years in the desert as a result. Yet in these times of waiting, God molds and shapes us. The only way to meet the challenge of responsibility is to be willing to wait on God's timing in every situation. Three words characterize a responsible person: confidence in God's calling and ability, the courage to obey regardless of the cost, and a commitment to Jesus Christ. God gives us limitless opportunities, but we must assume responsibility and obey his call. As you pray, ask God to expand your world of opportunities and give you the desire to become responsible like Moses and willing to obey regardless of the cost. Hallelujah. What a word. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. And our title for this morning comes out of Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And as we go through, it is a word by itself. God replied to Moses, I am who I am. God replied to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. We serve the God who is alive. We serve the God who is alive, who is present, who is here right now, who gives life and breath to everything that lives, Acts 17:25. He is, whether anything else remains or not, he knows exactly what lies ahead of us. So we should always trust him. What does Proverbs say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. We know God is in charge, and all we have to do is wait on the Lord. And when he comes, be ready to do what he tells you to do. Exodus 4:12, go and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. If we submit ourselves to God and obey his word, he will make us competent. But whatever task he gives us, we are never qualified to do God's work because of our own talent, abilities, or training. Rather, it is because God is with us. And if God is with us, then no amount of skill or experience will make us qualified. Hallelujah. We are qualified by the blood of Jesus. Psalm 16:1-6. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. I'm going to read that again. That's a highlighter. We'll get your highlight out, get your ink pen out, get that instrument of writing to put that little star by this word. It's like that Proverbs 3:5-6 word. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hastens after another God. Their drink offering of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. But I love that. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. Psalm 16:1. Proverbs 5:1-6. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey. You heard that right. And her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down in death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable. You do not know them. In other words, you tell your children, tell your sons especially, oh, get wisdom and avoid falling in the trap of ignorance, falling in the trap of deceit, falling in the trap of a wayward woman. God knows everything. He sees it all laid out. We cannot be ignorant in our life, ignorant in what we do, ignorant, period. We got to walk in righteousness. Matthew 18:1-20. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Whomever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. Ooh, what a word. You know, we have to be so very careful that what we do, what we say, how we act. You know, God is giving us assignments every day. And, you know, the word that God gave me for this lesson on Sunday was this. One, the word says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? In our world today, I'm better than you has gone to a whole new level, along with big, bigger, biggest, great and greatest. Just know these attitudes are not new. We just see it now in living color on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, hashtag I'm the greatest. We can't all be great like Muhammad Ali, who could float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. For in his mind and in the cheers of fans, he was the king of the ring and the greatest boxer of all times. However, Jesus said things a little differently. Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. And that is Matthew chapter 18, verses 2 through 5. And this is what God gave me, a list. Number one, we must be humble and faithful. Let us break this word down. If you want to be great, you must first learn the humility of children. As our children on Sunday sang, it's not about us, it's about Jesus. But the words are, it's not about money, title, or fame. Instead, we must be instruments of praise. We and lay everything, including ourselves, at the feet of Jesus. Because it's not about me or you, but Jesus, our Savior. We must have childlike faith. They really could care less about one's social status, complexions, or public opinions of he said, she said. We must have childlike trust in Jesus. Just as our children have trust in us, we must have faith like a child that all of our needs will be met. Jesus wants us to be humble. In the book of James chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 10 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. I don't know about you, but I want to be lifted up. Can we all say together, thank you, God? And this is another word. Avoid causing a believer to sin is number two. And that comes from verses 6 through 7. And it says this, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Matthew 8 and 6. You will wish for death when you knowingly cause a believer to sin. Three, we must get over and avoid offense or offending. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to the man that whom the offense comes. We have lost our minds, family, with the cancel culture. You said XYZ and I felt offended because you should have said ABC. We need to get over ourselves. Just imagine if God canceled us out because we made a mistake or said the wrong thing 40 years ago. Understand, Moses killed somebody 40 years prior to being called by God. And instead of admitting guilt, he hid the body. And then when he knew he might be found out, he ran. He ran like a scaredy cat, which he should have because he was going to be dead. But God put it in his heart to run. And this is another word. And this is from 7 through 9. And it says, avoid eternal judgment. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than living two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into the fire. Matthew 18:7-9. Jesus is not calling for us to be one-eyed jacks, family, or perform self-mutilation. He wants us to avoid sin. If situations, people, or places are causations for sin, avoid them. You know boo-boo and them down the street are getting high, fornicating, and dabbling in witchcraft and all manners of wickedness, and you know you are spiritually weak. Why are you going down there? A boo-boo is not your boo or your babe. He or she is a buck. Keep moving, and you need to avoid them, him or her, at all costs. What did the word tell us in our proverb word? And the lips of an immoral woman, and that could be man too, drip honey. And I'm going to say his or her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, he or she is better, is no better than wormwood. Sharp as a two-edged sword. And I'm going to say, his or her feet go down to death. His or her steps lay hold of hell, lest you ponder their path of life. Their ways are unstable. You do not know them. We got to be careful who we allow into our life and what we go and what we do. Number 5, God wants us to be saved. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountain to seek the one that is strayed? And if he should find it, surely I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, is it not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish? Matthew 8:10-14. Jesus said in Matthew 9:12-13, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. God loves us so much that he sent his son, the good shepherd, to watch over his flock, because 99 won't do for God. If you don't know Jesus, today is a good day to be saved. Hallelujah. That God gave me this word on Sunday that I'm able to share part of it with you this morning. Number 6. Keep it in the church family. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Wow, that's a rough word. In other words, forgive and let them go is what God gave me. God does not want us to walk alone. There must be unity in the body of Christ, which is the church. We must learn to take our issues to the throne and not to the phone. So many times we get caught up in that phone conversation and talking a whole bunch of stuff and not listening. We go to the phone instead of the throne. We got to learn how to take it to God. You got to get you those prayer partners that will pray with you in the middle of the night, that all you have to do is make a phone call and they will hear and answer and say, you say, can we pray? And they'll say, I'm praying for you right now, because God had already put you on their heart. That's how God does things. And number seven, and that's where we'll be ending this morning on my number seven, and then we'll get into the rest of the lesson on tomorrow. But number seven, we got the power. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth, we just talked about that early this morning, will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That was my prayer this morning. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. And I say to you this morning, I thank all of you who are joining me in this midst of this word today. For we know that the word of God has told us that he is in the midst, because we gather in his name. So when the Holy Spirit hits, don't get surprised, but he is here. He says, I just say this morning, I'm so grateful the Holy Spirit is in our midst this morning. And that is all I have. I have a couple of life lessons from Dr. Stanley. And the first one is from Matthew chapter 18, verse 3. Unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And Dr. Stanley said Jesus had in mind the humility of little children and their unconcern for social status or public opinion. He encourages us to place childlike trust in him regardless of what others may think. I like that. To put trust in him regardless of what others might think. Matthew chapter 18, verse 14. Is it not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish? God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. That includes children. 10, verse 20. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. The Spirit of Jesus lives in each individual Christian. Now I want to say he lives in each of us. But he promises to be with them in a unique and special way when they gather in his name for worship, service, and mutual encouragement. He is in the midst. Father God, Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Holy Spirit is in the midst because we are together worshiping and believing in the Most High God. And real quick, I'm going to go over to 1 Timothy, the two scriptures that Dr. Stanley mentioned in his word, 1 Timothy chapter 2. And 2 Peter. And I'm going to do 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 first. And it says this. And I'm coming out of the Amplified Bible, and it says, the Lord does not delay as though he were unable to act, and is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is extraordinarily patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And I love this. This is coming out of Joyce Meyer's study Bible, and it says, a prayer to renew your mind. I know, Lord, that you do not delay, as though you are unable to act. You are not slow about your promise, as some count slowness, but you are extraordinarily patient, not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. We got to pray the word of God. In one of my trainings that I'm doing right now, that is what we're learning to do, to pray the word. When you have a situation, when you pray the word, God's word comes back to you. And that's why we do what we do. That's why we read this word. That's why we study this word. That's why we stand on this word, because we need this word to abide. We can't do this with on our own flesh. We have to do it with God. With God, all things are possible, because his word says so. And when we stand on the word, we know to pray. Lord, your word says that all things are possible when we believe in you, when we trust in you. And this is a word from chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. And I'm in 2 Timothy, so forgive me, family. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I mean, chapter 2, verse 4. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. So in the Amplified, who wishes all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge and the recognition of divine truth. And I'm going to go back up real quick to verse number 1. First of all, then, I urge that petitions, specific requests, prayers, intercessions, prayers for others, and thanksgiving be offered on behalf of all people, for kings and all who are in positions of high authority, so that we may live a peaceful and quiet life in all goodness and dignity. This kind of praying is good and acceptable and pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who wishes all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge and recognition of divine truth. For there is only one God and only one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. And that's how we get it in context and we get the word correctly. So the word comes. God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, as Dr. Stanley said. And it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. God wants us all to be saved. And I thank God for this wonderful word this morning that has guided us and is guiding us. And we will come back together on tomorrow in our same order, Exodus, Psalms, Proverbs, and we'll be finishing up chapter 18. I believe we might have a couple of more. Yeah, we'll be finishing up chapter 18 of Matthew, and I'll be finishing up some of the things that God gave me on Sunday for that word. So thank you again. I appreciate you all. And I know if all I can say from myself, great word this morning. You know, God is teaching us in his word what to do and how to do it and how to act, how to treat our fellow man, and most of all, that we should pray. And this is a word from our sister and sister Carolyn. And the word from Carolyn's gift this morning is this: good morning. In your weakness, his strength is perfect. Come on now. Moses. I can't talk. I'm not a good speaker. You know, I'm coming up with excuses because I got to go back to Egypt. But I'm not a good person. I can't talk all the time. I understand that. We all have those moments where we cannot speak as eloquently as we would like, that we may mispronounce some words. Come on now, I'm speaking for me. So I understand, in your weakness, his strength is perfect, and his grace will be sufficient. Rejoice in your hard times, your trials, family, and the power of Christ may abide in you. Have a wonderful Wednesday. you know, I always laugh because, again, Sister Carolyn does not know what I'm going to preach on or teach on or what scriptures even I'm coming from, because I don't put it out until either late at night or early in the morning. So she wouldn't have had a clue what I was teaching on, because I'm not even sure I posted on Facebook this morning. But the word that God gave her, fits perfectly in today's lesson. And I'm going to say it again. Good morning. In your weakness, His strength is perfect. Rejoice in your hard times, in your trials. And the power of Christ may abide in you. The Lord God wants to abide in each one of us. What did He say? The greatest. Unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. We got to understand His grace is sufficient for each and every one of us. But He is our Father. He is our Savior. He is one with God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And we are His children. So let us have faith today. And I love the word. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. Let us keep our trust in God this morning and every day. And know that you are covered because you are a child of God. That's all I have this morning. Please join me tomorrow. Hallelujah. God willing. And I love that word, God willing. Together again, as we study the Word of God, let it permeate your heart, let it permeate your mind, let it permeate your spirit. For our Father God is in charge of everything. And as we pray out, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. I believe where I live, it's supposed to snow, so please, wherever you may live, be safe. Be prayed up before you get in your vehicles, before you get on a bus, before you get on a train or a plane. Pray up first and ask God and His holy angels to surround you and be with you and everyone that is on the road with you, on the plane or the train or the bus with you. Please be safe. Keep God first in everything you do. And again, preserve me, O God, for you I put my trust. Keep your trust in God and watch Him work in your life. Family, I got it. Y'all joining me as we say it together? It is a wrap, because we are always willing, ready, available, presently praying for each and every one of you. Have a blessed and glorious day, keeping your trust in God. Have a blessed day. It's a wrap.